Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Chof Ches, and we are at the Mishnah, 8 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Zayin Omid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yechil Yosef ben Sarah, Shlomo Zev ben Chaya, Henoch Yisrael ben Esther Necha, Gavriel Tzvi ben Yutka, Yosef Tzvi bas ben Chaya Henela, and Chaya Rachel Etel, Bashulamis. So we're continuing to discuss Bame Madlikin Ubame Ein Madlikin. Says the Mishnah, Kola Yoitze Mino Eitz Ein Madlikin Boy Elo Pishton. You're not allowed to make wicks, says Rashi, from any material that's a byproduct of a tree, with the exception of flax. The Kola Yoitze Mino Eitz, another halacha, anything that's a byproduct of a tree, einoy mitame tumas oyalim, it's not mitame tumas oyal, elo pishton, with the exception of flax. So the topic of the last two dafim, for the most part, the daf part of the daf anyways, was a comment that Rav Shimon ben Elazar made on the bottom of daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph. Rav Shimon ben Elazar said that pishton is unique relative to other things that are yoytze min ha'etz in two ways. Number one, kol ha'yoytze min ha'etz ein bay mishum shalosh al shalosh chutz min ha'pishton. Additionally, kol ha'yoytze min ha'etz misachichin bay is kosher for schach chutz min ha'pishton. Now we have two other halachos where pishton, flax, is on an island unto itself. It's different than anything else that's yoytze min ha'etz. Number one, with regards to the sugis that we're learning, b'me madlikin u'b'me imadlikin, and number two, as it relates to the halacha of tumas oil, says the Gemara. One thing would seem clear from the Mishnah, and that is that pishton, for some reason, is being viewed by Chazal as a tree. Now, the truth is, flax is a plant. It grows on the ground. It's not a tree. So says the Gemara, if it's not a tree, then it's not an exception to the rule of kol ha'yoytze min ha'etz ein madlikin bo elo pishton, or kol ha'yoytze min ha'etz ein metame tumas ha'olin elo pishton, because pishton itself is not yoytze min ha'etz. So clearly Chazal, for some reason, viewed pishton as being a tree, so that flax is yoytze min ha'etz. Right, the Gemara now minolon the pishton ikri eitz the metzias doesn't seem to be that way. So why did Chazal view it that way? Amar mazuchad amakro, they based it on a pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua. It says v'hi he'elosam. He is referring to rochav azoyna hagoga vatit minem bepishtei ha'etz. She hid the meraglim bepishtei ha'etz. Either way, the pasuk is referring to flax, pishtei ha'etz. So you see the Torah, the Navi already refers to pishton as coming from a tree. That's why Chazal viewed pishton as being yoytze min ha'etz, even though really it's a plant. It doesn't really grow on a tree. V'hayoytze min ha'etz, the Mishnah said, inim metame tumas oyalim elo pishton. So the Mishnah said two halachas. One is negeya the sugyas that we're learning, b'me madlikin u'b'me ein madlikin. The other one is negeya tumas oyalim, stating that the Gemara, today's daf, is going to discuss the seifa of the Mishnah, the part of the Mishnah that's not really negeya the sugyas that we're learning, the part of the Mishnah that deals with tumas oilim. So we need a little bit of a background to segue into the daf. And that is, we're all familiar with tumas oil. Not all tumas were created equally. Tumas mace is unique in that it's not only metama b'maga, it's not only metama b'masa, but it's metama b'oil as well. What does oil mean? Oil means if this item goes on top of tumah, it becomes tumah. If an item goes underneath tumah, meaning the tumah is mahal on it, it becomes tumah. If something is under the same roof as something that's tumah, that's the third way that it would become tumah, tumas oil. But the point is, if something is on top of tumah, it becomes tomei tumas oil. The Torah says that if a mace dies inside a room, inside a building, inside a house, the roof of the house becomes tomei. And it makes sense that the roof of the house should become tomei because it's being mahil on the mace. If it's being mahil on the mace, it's one of the three ways that tumas oil is conveyed. So the roof, which is on top of the mace, is no different than if a person would be on top of the mace, it now becomes tomei. But if you think about it for a minute, there really is a little bit of a chiddush. And that is, mechuba l'karka never becomes tame. So if mechuba l'karka can't be tame, something has to be separated from the ground in order for it to be mekabel tumah. But if it's attached to the ground, it cannot be mekabel tumah. Then really, why is the roof, why is the oil, in the classic example of when a maize dies in an oil, that the oil becomes tame, isn't the oil mechuba l'karka? So that's a chiddush, and the Gemara now is going to discuss that chiddush a little bit. Again, the chiddush that if something is mahil on top of a mace, even though it's mechuba lekarka, it will be tameh. And again, just to be clear, I'm speaking out what Tosfos says here in the sugya, that really everything that's mahil on a mace becomes tameh. You wouldn't need Shabbos Tav Chav Ches to address that and to discuss it in any form of detail. Because the halacha is that anything that's mal on a mace is tamei. The reason we're having a sugya now is because we're discussing a roof in particular. A roof is mechuba lekarka. So there's a special chiddush that a roof would ever be mekabel tamei. And there's going to be limitations to that chiddush that a roof, even though it's mechuba lekarka, still has the ability to become tamei because of the fact that it's being mahal ala mace. So going back to the Mishnah, what the Mishnah essentially said was, if you have a roof that's mechuba lekarka and it was made from a material that comes from a tree, it's not tamei tumas oil, even though it was ma'al on a mace. I thought everything that's ma'al on a mace is tamei. Yeah, this is different because this is mechubar. So being that it's mechubar, really it shouldn't be, ever become tamei. Special chiddush becomes tamei, but there's limitations to that chiddush. The limitation that we're discussing is with the exception of flax, says the Gemara. Minol, how do you know this? I'm Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lava said, Gomer oil, oil, mi mishko. We learn it from Xer Shavu. It says oil in the parsha of Tumas oil, and it says the word oil by the Mishnah. That's Parshas Chukas, that's the parsha in the Torah that talks about Tumas oil. And it says by the Mishkan, Vayifrois es ha oil ala Mishkan. The oil was spread out over the Mishkan. Malahalon shel pishton. Just like that oil that the Torah is referring to. One of the materials was pishton, one of the materials was flax, and karoy oil, and you see it's called oil, afkan shel pishton, karoy oil. So too when the Torah says, zoysa Torah adam kiyamos ba'oil, if the oil would be made of pishton, it would be considered an oil, and you would have the halacha that the roof itself is now mekabel tumah. Now the truth is, in order to properly appreciate what we just said, and really the ensuing Gemara, almost the entire daf, we need another very, very slight introduction, and that is to reacquaint ourselves a little bit with the physical nature of the Mishkan. So the Mishkan was a structure. Of course, we're in the Midbar, and then later in Gilgal, and Noiv, and Givon, and in Shiloh for hundreds of years. The Avodah was done before Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash. Now, the structure of the Mishkan was beams. Atzei Shittim Oimdim. That's what the walls of the Mishkan were made of. On top of the Mishkan, there were coverings, curtains that acted as a roof. They acted as an oil. They acted as coverings. How many coverings were there? So we're going to see later in the Gemara was a Machloikis Tanam, Machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya. Whether there were three coverings or whether there were four coverings. Meaning, there was one layer, and another layer, and another layer. There's a machlokes whether there was a fourth layer as well. How exactly did it play out? The first layer, meaning the first covering of the Mishkan, this is important for the daf. The pasuk says in Parshas Truma, "Ves haMishkan tase esse yiriyos." So the Mishkan over here is referring to the first covering. Sheish mash. So what was it made up of? It was made up of linen. Moshsar, Tzemish, Tzedrait, Utcheles, it was made up of blue wool, Vargamon, purple wool, Vatelashani, red wool, Kruvim, there were pictures of Kruvim that were etched into these curtains. Masei Choshev Tasa Oisam. That's what the first layer of curtains looked like. So what was it made up of? This is important. It was made up of linen and wool. Shatn is 101. But the point is, there was Sheish Mashzor. In addition to that, there was Tcheles, there was Argamon, and there was Tchelashani. On top of that curtain, on top of that covering, there was another covering that was known as the Urias Ezen. The first one was known as the Urias HaMishkan. The second was known as the Urias Ezen. The Torah says, "Vasisa Urias Ezen la'oil al haMishkan ashtei es Urias tasa oisam." The Urias Ezen, as its name applies, was made of goat's hair. So whereas the first one was made of linen and different color wool, the second one was made of goat's hair. The third one, the Torah mentions, is "Vasisa Michso la'oil." You should make a third covering. It should be made up of the skin of rams, ma'adamim, dyed red. Additionally, it should be made up of the elusive tachash, We'll talk more about that as well. That was some creature that Chazal didn't fully understand. And that will be the third layer. The machlokes Rav Yehuda and Rav Nechemya, meaning the machlokes of whether there was three or four, is how to understand this pasuk. When the pasuk says, Vasisa michsa la'oil, oiris eilam ma'adamim, michsa oiris t'chashim, is it one that's made up of two types of skins? Oiris eilam ma'adamim on the one hand, and oiris t'chashim on the other hand? Or were they two separate coverings? One was made up of oiris eilam ma'adamim, the other one was made of oiris t'chashim. If the way you read the pasuk is that it was one that was made up partly of oiris eilam ma'adamim and partly of oiris t'chashim, then you would have three. You have the Rias HaMishkam, which was made up of linen and different color wools. You have the Rias HaEzim, which was made of goat's hair. And then on top of that, there was a third covering that was made up of the skin of rams and the skin of t'chashim together. The mandama that says that there was four holds that oiris eilam ma'adamim and oiris t'chashim were two separate mechsois. Meaning this pasuk, Perek Chav Bav, Pasuk Yud Dalin and Parashas Truma, is not describing one covering, it's describing two. V'asisa michsa la'oyel oiris eilam ma'adamim. That's one michse. Ooh, michse, and make another michse of Eiris T'chashim O'Maila. Either way, it was either three or four. Bottom line is, Chazal understood that these coverings of the Mishkan were all considered oil. And being that they're all considered oil, if you want to know what the definition of oil is, you can take a look at these coverings. These coverings will be very insightful because they were all oils. Okay, so what were the coverings made up of? Let's go through all of them. The first one was made up of linen. And it was made up of different types of wools. Okay. The second one was made up of goat's hair. The third one was made up of skin of animals. The skin of rams, dyed red, Eiris Eilam Adam, and Eiris Chashim. Whatever exactly the tachash is. So everything mentioned in these psukim that made up the materials of these oils would be considered an oil as it relates to Tumas oil as well. Because Ksiv Hachazayis HaTayir Adam Kiyamas Ba'oil, V'Ksiv Hasam V'Yifrois Esa Oil Ala Mishkan. The bottom line is, from all the materials that we mentioned, only one of them comes from a tree, and that is linen. Linen is made from flax. Flax grows in the ground, even though it's technically not a tree, but the Gemara said, Minon de Pishton Ikriates, we learned it from the Pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua with Rachav Azayin and the Meraglim. So the point is, from everything mentioned, the only one that comes from an eitz is Pishton. Thus, we know the halacha that kol hayotzei min ha'eitz einu metameh tumas oyalin ela Pishton. Point is that whatever is one of the materials of the three coverings of the Mishkan, that's what would be considered it. Says the Gemara, if you're going to tell me that the Makar, of how you know that Pishton is Ikri oil in Parshas Chukas, when you're learning the halachas of Tumas oil, is because oil of Tumas oil, Zayisatayr Adam Kiyamas Ba'oil, is dumya to what oil means in the context of Mishkan, and in the context of Mishkan, oil is the coverings of the Mishkan, and if oil is the coverings of the Mishkan, one of the coverings was Pishton, so that's how you know Pishton, says the Gemara. Maybe the Pishton that would be considered an oil with regards to Tumas oil should have to be identical to the Pishton that was the Pishkan in the Mishkan. Okay, how so? Imala halon shizurim. Over there, the Pishton had to be shizurim. They had to be spun in a certain way. V'chut and kafu vav. And not just that, each chut of Pishton was made up of six strands of Pishton that were all submished together. It was done in a very intricate and in a very precise way. So maybe Afkan, the only time Pishton should be considered an oil with regards to Tumas oil is if it's in that same fashion, only if it's Shizurim v'chutan kafel. But if you have Pishton and it's not Shizurim, it's not chutan kafel vav, so maybe then you wouldn't have that halacha. Tamaloyim, so the Gemara says, I hear, but oil rib. It says the word oil in the parish of Tumas oil twice, and the second oil is coming to be marba, not just Pishton, where it's identical to the way the Pishton was, to the Sheish Mashzar that was in the Urias HaMishkan. But any Pishton would be included. Says the Gemara, once you have a Rebo, maybe it should be Marba other things. Why are you only being Marba Pishton that's not Shizurin V'chut and Kafel Vav? To the extent that you have another Rebo, maybe be Marba other things as well. So the Gemara says, because I'm saying Gzereshav HaMayahani, like, we have a Gzereshav at the end of the day. The Gzereshav is limiting and it's teaching us what type of oil that's Mechuba L'Karka becomes Tomei when it's Mahil on top of a Mei. So you have to work with the Gzeir Shavah. So the Gzeir Shavah is going to limit it to the materials that were the coverings of the Mishkan. The fact that you have a riboy says it's those materials, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in that exact fashion. So if you have pishton, pishton would be mekabel tumah. If the pishton is not shizurim, it's not chutin kafuvav, that would be enough for it to be mekabel tumah. Says the Gemara, ve'ema mala halan krashin afkan krashin. Why don't you say that if the limud, meaning if the paradigm of what an oil is with regards to tumah is what oil was in the context of the Mishkan, so the krushim, the beams, the atzei shittim, which made up the walls of the Mishkan, should also be considered a material for which there would be tumas oil. And in the Mishnah, you see not that way, because the Mishnah said kol ayoytzim mina eitz einu metame tumas oil and elo pishtom. Atzei shittim is a tree, so you see only pishtom, now atzei shittim. Now you're going to ask a question: what does krushim have to do with oil? I thought oil was a covering. So the three coverings, I understand why those materials would be oil. But the krushim were the walls. What does the wall have to do with oil? So Rashi asks the question, and Rashi says, because umishkan ikri oil. You find that the whole Mishkan was really called oil. Dechsev, because the pasuk says, es mishkan oil moed. So you see that the whole Mishkan was called an oil. So if the whole Mishkan was really called the oil, so the kasha is, then the walls of the Mishkan are called oil. Once they're called oil, they should be included in the Gzeirah Shavah. So why is the Gzeirah Shavah only marbe pishton, that's yoytze min ha'etz, that's included in the halach of tumas oil? L'chura, all wood, or at least atzei shittim, should be included as well. So the Gemara says, amakra, because the pasuk says, v'asisa krushim lim mishkan. It's a subtle diak in the pasuk. The pasuk says that Hashem said you should build krushim for the Mishkan. And we learn from there, Mishkan kari Mishkan, the krushim kri Mishkan. You see, the krushim itself is not called Mishkan. The krushim were there to facilitate the Mishkan. But the krushim themselves weren't called Mishkan. So it's true, Mishkan's called oil. So whatever Mishkan is oil, but krushim are not called Mishkan. What do you mean? What's the Mishkan if not the krushim? These are literally the walls, the bricks and mortar of the Mishkan. The Torah says, the pasuk says, Vasisa krushim lim Mishkan. Says the Gemara, Elamiyat, if that's the case, when the Torah describes the third, or the third and the fourth of the coverings, the pasuk says, Vasisa michse le'oil. So hachinami, are you going to tell me there, michse le'ikri oil? So you'll tell me it's a michse le'oil, but the michse itself is not called the oil. If that's the case, just to speak it outside first, it should be pashit that oirois eilim and oirois tchashim should not be considered an oil with regards to tumas meis. In other words, if you would have an oil, you would have a roof that's made up of the skin of an animal, it would be pashit that it wouldn't be mekabel tumah, based on the fact that it's not called oil. What do you mean? I thought the coverings are called oils. Yeah, but I thought the krushim was also called an oil. But vasisa krushim lim mishkan X'd it out. So vasisa michsa li oil should also knock it out. The Gemara says, but if that's the case, Allah Hadabai Rabbi Lazar, the same Rabbi Lazar who is the author of this Shtikl Torah, who said, Gamar oil, oil mi mishkan, that's the Makar to the Allah of the Mishnah. That kala yoytzim in eitz, enim etamet tumas oilim elo pishton. Rabbi Lazar asked the following question, Ar behemet tmeya, ma'ashi tamet boilam eiz. What's the Allah if someone has the oir of a behemet tmeya, not the oir of a behemet tohera? What's the Allah? Is it metamet meiz or is it not metamet meiz? Now, where was Rabbi Lazar coming from? Rabbi Lazar made one hanacha for sure in his question. What was the hanacha? That the oir of a behema is subject to the laws of tumas oil. What was his question? What about the oir of a behema tmei? But for sure the oir of a behema. Now how did he know the oir of a behema is an oil? Probably because it was one of the coverings. It says vasisa michsal oil inside. Hashta or behema tmeir lemetamo. If you're going to tell me vasisa michsal oil is a diuk, and you're going to tell me that it's only a michsal oil, but the third covering was not considered an oil. So if that's the case, the oil of a behema tmeir is also not an oil. Because even though it was one of the coverings of the Mishkan, but it was excluded, just like the krushim were excluded, this was excluded as well. So if that's the case, what was Rabbi Lazar Shailo? If the oil of a behema tmeir doesn't become tummy, oil of a behema tmeir mi bay, then certainly the oil of a behema tmeir shouldn't be tummy. But the Gemara says, "Shani Hasim, there it's different. The Hadra Hadre Kra, there there's a special pasuk. I mean, even though it says Vasisa Michsal Oil, which would seem to exclude the third covering and the fourth covering, according to that Manda Amar, from being considered an oil, but there's a Mefurish, a Drusha that brings it back into the fold and says that no, really it is an oil. What's that? Venasuas Urias Amishkon Vesayo Moyed, Michseyu Umichse Hatachash Asher Olav. Michseyu is referring to the second covering of the Mishkan, Umichse Hatachash Asher Olav is referring to the third covering. And makish oyel latachton, and the pasuk put them together. Matachton kari oyel, just like the second covering is for sure called an oyel. What was that one made up of? The goats here, the urea season. But that was for sure considered an oyel. Af elyon kari oyel. So to the elyon is going to be called an oyel exhale. So the point is that we had a halach in the Mishnah. Kol ayoytze mino eitz enay metame tumas oyalim elapishna. We're talking specifically about a roof that's part of a house. It's attached to the ground. Ordinarily, something that's mechubal karka is not mekabel tumas. Stating that the Torah says that if a mace dies inside a building, the tumas conveyed all over the house, and even the roof becomes tameh. So you see clearly that even though it's mechubal karka, it becomes tameh. But Rabbi Elazar said it's a very, very big chiddush, and we're going to limit the chiddush. What are we going to limit the chiddush to? To whatever's considered oil in the context of Mishkan, that will be considered oil as it relates to this halacha in the context of tumas oil. So what was considered oil in the Mishkan as it relates to Dover ayoytzim and eitz, the only thing that you find was considered an oil was the pishton. Where do you find pishton? Pishton is linen. The first of the three or four coverings of the Mishkan was made up of sheish as one of its materials. So you see, sheish is considered a covering. Bottom line is, that was Rabbi Lazar's halacha. Where Rabbi Lazar had a shaila, which is going to be now the next part of the daf, was one of the materials that you see was considered an oil is the oir of a behemah, the oir of selim adamim, and the oir of tchashin. And Rabbi Lazar shaila was, what about the oir of a behemah tmei? Is it only true for the oir of a behemah taira, or would it be true for an oir of a behemah tmei as well? Says the Gemara Gufa. Boy, Rabbi Lazar, oir behemah tmei, ma'ashi yitam etum asa yalim. Says the Gemara, what's the shaila? Like, what are the two tzadim? I'm Rabbi Adabar Ahava said, tacha shahoy b'mei ma'ashi kami ba'yalim. Rabbi Lazar wasn't sure about the nature, the physical nature of the tachash. What exactly was this tachash? It existed b'mei Moshe. Rabbi Lazar never saw it. And he wanted to know, what was it? Tameh haya? Ay taya haya? Was it tameh or was it tar? Thus, if it was tameh, so for sure the oil of a behemah tameh is going to be metameh tumas oil. Because again, what's the makar? How do you know what type of oil is metameh tumas oil? Whatever was considered oil in the Mishkan. So one of the oils in the Mishkan was the oil is tchashin. So you see clearly that the oil of a tachash or behemah tameh is going to be mekabel tumah. But if the tachash was a behemah taira, then you don't have a source that the oil of a behemah tameh is going to be mekabel tumah. Only the oil of a behemah taira. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, "Mighty boyle." He said, "Rabbi Loza, what's the shayla? Tanina, isn't it a brisa? The brisa says lehuchshu." It says, for Melech HaShemayim, you're only allowed to use the Arav HaBehemah Torah. So if you're only allowed to use the Arav HaBehemah Torah for Melech HaShemayim, I would think the Yerias HaMishkan qualifies as Melech HaShemayim. So for sure the Tachash was a Behemah Torah. If the Tachash was a Behemah Torah, then there's no Shiloh, Rabbi Lazar. The Arav of a Behemah Temeah is not going to be Mekabel Tumah. Masav, Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba asked the Kash, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Yudah said, Shem Bichsayis Hayu. There were two Michsayis. We mentioned earlier, there's a Machlokes Tanam, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Nechemiah. Whether the third covering that the Torah mentions, Oyres Selim Adamim and Oyres Tchashim, was it one or was it two? Meaning, were there three in total or were there four in total? This is the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda says that third one was really made up of two. Achad shal Oyres Selim Adamim v'echad shal Oyres Tchashim. Nechemiah says, no, Michse Echad Ayah. It was only one. It was one that was made up partially of Oyres Selim Adamim and partially of Oyres Tchashim. Continues the Braisa. This everybody agrees with. V'doyma kemin Tala Ilan. It was similar to a certain animal called the Tala Ilan. Said Rabbi Abba, v'hatala Ilan Tamehu. We don't know what the Tachash is, but we know what the Tala Ilan is. The Tala Ilan is a non-kosher animal. It's a cat or a leopard or a tiger. It's in that family. So it's a non-kosher animal for sure. So if it's a non-kosher animal, so you see clearly if the Tachash like was the Tala Ilan, doesn't it sound like the Tachash was a non-kosher animal? So that's a Mefurish Araya. But the Gemara says, no, Hachi Kamar, Kamin Tala Ilan, it was like the Tala Ilan. Sheyesh Begvanim Harbe, in the sense that the Tala Ilan has many colors on it, so too, this animal had a lot of colors on it. But Veloy Tala Ilan, but it's not literally the Tala Ilan. Ilan Hasam Tameh V'achatar. Because the Tala Ilan is a non-kosher animal, this is a kosher animal. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef heard this. He said, by the way, FYI, Ihachi, now I understand the Targum. You know, Rabbi Yosef was a big bucky in Targum. Tosis brings in the beginning of Masechtas Bava Kama, Rishonim quoted really throughout Shas, that the reason he was such a bucky in Targum is because the Gemara says, Dvarim Shebiksav, Iato Rishoy, La Oimram Balpeh. Rabbi Yosef was a Saginar, he was a Suma, so he couldn't say Dvarim Shebiksav Balpeh. He couldn't read it, so you would have no choice but to say it Balpeh. You're not allowed to say it Balpeh. So to that reason, he had to be a Baki B'targum. But Tosfos says it can't be a real pshat. Because we know the Gemara says that even though you weren't allowed to write Torah Shabbat, but Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wrote it, because Eis Lassus Lashem Efer Torah Sechel, says Tosfos, if you're going to tell a Suma that he can't learn Torah Shabbat, in Lechol Eis Lassus Gedoyla Mizu, so Tosfos says that's not the reason Rabbi Yosef was a Baki in Targum. Why was he a Baki in Targum? because he was a Baki in Targum. But either way, so Rabbi Yosef was for sure a Baki in Targum, and he said, Hainu de Metargaminon, now I understand this Targum. Sasgavno, that's what the Targum says on the word Tachash. You know why? It's an acronym. Shesos Bigvanim Harbe. It gets very excited with all its colors. It's like the Tolo Ilan that has a lot of colors. This has a lot of colors as well. Either way, so Rabbi Loza had a Shiloh. What was the Shiloh? Or Behemet Meya. Maushe Yatama Tumas Oilim. What's the shaila? May komi boyle. So Rabbi Adi Bar Ahava said his shaila was the tachash shehoya b'mei Moshe. Was it tame or was it tahar? Rabbi Yosef said, I don't hear Rabbi Lazar shaila. To me, it's pasha that it had to be tahar. Why? Because like huchshru lemelecha shemayim elaba or behema tarabulat. So for now, just to hold the thought for a minute, Rabbi Lazar wasn't sure. Rabbi Yosef was sure. Rabbi Lazar wasn't sure because he wasn't sure what the nature of the tachash was. Rabbi Yosef says, no way the tachash was a non-kosher animal. They didn't put non-kosher animal anywhere in the vicinity of the Mishkan. Says the Gemara, Rabba said a different sheet. He said, the Ar Behemet Tmei is Metame Boil. And he learned it from somewhere else. Not from the Mishkan, nothing to do with the tachash. He had a different Mekar. Tani, we learned it in a Braisa, and this is going to feel a little bit like the last two dafin. Or, it says in the parasha of Tumas Negoim. So, if a beged comes in contact with saras, so it becomes tamei, tumas negoim on a beged. And the Torah mentions the different types of materials which can become tamei. It could have said or, but it says oy bi'or. What do we learn from there? Ribo. It's coming to be marba. What's coming to be marba? Or behemet mea. Then not only the or behemet Torah is subject to the laws of tumas negoim, but the or behemet mea is also subject to the laws of tumas negoim. Another thing we learn from there is v'shalaka b'yad koyin. If when the koyin picked up the beged, it wasn't tamei, but in the hand of the koyin it became tamei, you have the same halacha. Another halacha katzas mikulam vasa achas mehem. What if somebody would take a little bit of different materials, make one beged out of it, and then it would get a nega. How do you know we would be subject to the laws of Tumah? Talmud loymar oy bechom lechazar. That's another riboy. Either way, said Rava, that once you see that the R of a behema temeya is subject to the laws of Tumas Negaim. So Rava said, there's no reason it shouldn't be subject to the laws of Tumas Meis either. So the Oir of a Behema Temeya is Metama B'meis. How does he know it? Rabbi Lazar was working exclusively with the Mishkan, and as a result, he wasn't sure. He got tripped up because is the Tachash a kosher animal? Was it not a kosher animal? Rava says, I have a different makar to this. I know this from somewhere else. I know this from the halach of Tumas Negaim, Mineyu Bey, from the Sugis of Tumah, albeit a different type of Tumah, a Tumah that wasn't created equally to Tumas Meis. But the point is that you see this idea that the Ar of a Behemet Tmei, it's learned out from a special Riboy, Oy Ar, to tell me this halacha that it's Tumas, if it's Tumas, Tumas Negam, so why should it be Tumas? Tumas Oy, but the Gemara says, Ikla Mifrach, Malo Negam, Shekin Chesi Ve'erif, Tumas Bohen. Negan has a chumra of a Tumas Meis. Shesi Ve'erif becomes Tumas. Shesi Ve'erif, you don't find this by Tumas Meis. Elo Gama Mishratzim. So Rava said, you're right, you learn it from Shratzim. Tanya, you have the same drasha by Shratzim. Or, a beggar that comes in contact with a sheretz piece is Tumas. One of the types of a godim, the Torah says, is if it's made of R. In the other R, behemet Torah, R, behemet 29, Tama Leimar, Oy R. So said Rava, you're right, you don't want to learn it from Tumas the Gun. Learn it from Tumas Shratzim. The Ikel Mifrat Gemara says, but Malu Shratzim came in Tamil Kadasha. Shratzim also has a Chumrah. A sheretz the size of an Adasha is Tame. Mace is only Metama if it's a Kezayas. Kezayas is bigger than an Adasha. But the Gemara says, Negom Yechichu. Now that I see Ar Behemet Tmeya both by Negom and by sheretz, so I could always say Negom Yechichu. Negom is not Tame Bekadasha. The sheer Tumas Negom is big gris. Not Bekadasha. But the Gemara says, the Chazarad, Malu Shratzim came in Tamil Kadasha. Negom Yechichu. The Chazarad did. Leiroz, I could rise up, Leiroz. In other words, Rava said that even though we're not sure whether an oil that's made of Ar Behemet Tmeya can become Tomei when it's mal on top of a maize, but we do find the halach of Ar Behemet Tmeya in two other parashiyos of Tumah. Tumas Negoim and by Tumas Ratzim. Now, granted, each one of those two parashiyas have a chumra over Tumas Oil. The chumra in Tumas Sheretz is it's Metame Bekadasha. The chumra of Tumas Negoim is that it's Metame Shasti Ve'erev. But between the two, at Tzad HaShava Shabahem, I have a wonderful Tzad HaShava. Because what are you going to tell me? Negoim is different because it's Metame Shasti Ve'erev. Sheretz is also Metame or Behemet Tmei, and it's not Metame Shasti Ve'erev. You tell me, yeah, but Sheretz is Metame Bekadasha. But Negam is not Metame Bekadasha. So Loiroizek, Hatzad HaShava Shabahen, is you have two parashiyas of Tumah that include not only the Ar of Behemet Tahira, but also the Ar of Behemet Tmei. So there's no reason that this halacha shouldn't include the Ar of Behemet Tmei either. It says the Gemara, Amalei Rava Mi Barnish, Le Ravashi. So Rava Mi Barnish, ask Ravashi on what Rava said. So Rava Rava and Rava mi Barnish. I have a problem with the Tzad HaShava. Because the Tzad HaShava has a Tumeyim v'pachis mikizayis. There's a Tzad HaShava between the Tumas Sheretz and the Tumas Negon, and that both of them convey Tumah even if it's less than a Zayas. A Gris is less than a Zayas, and Adasha is less than a Kizayas. Toimar b'mei she'enu metame elo b'kizayas. So you can't learn it directly from Tumas Sheretz, you can't learn it directly from Tumas Negon, you can't even learn it from Tzad HaShava. Elo omar Rava mi Barnish. But Rava mi Barnish said, stating that, I have some good news. Meaning, the bad news is I don't agree with Rav's drasha. The good news is I have a different makar. I can learn it. I can learn it from goats here. She'ena metame b'negam. Goats here is not metame b'negam. If you have a beged that's made up of nutzah shalizim, it wouldn't be tame. But at the same time, it's metame b'oil ha'meis. Now, how do you know nutzah shalizim is metame b'oil ha'meis? Maybe not, because the urea sayizim, that was the second covering, it was made up 100% of nutzah shalitzim. So if that's the case, or behemet tmeya, shemitama binagam, it's a kal v'chaymer, enoidin shemitama b'oil ha'meis. So if nutzah shalitzim is metama b'oil ha'meis, certainly or behemet tmeya should be metama b'oil ha'meis. And the bottom line is, Rabbi Elazar wasn't sure, or behemet tmeya, if you have an oil made of that, is it metama b'oil ha'meis, or is it not metama b'oil ha'meis? What was the crux of the question? The question was the tachash. Was it a behemet taira? Was it a behemet tamei? Rabbi Elazar v'shitasa, he was the one that said that what type of roof is tamei tomas oil when it's mile on the mace, even though it's attached to the ground? Gomar oil mi mishkan. So he went through all the materials that were quote unquote mishkan, and he asked himself, if it's considered a material in the Mishkan, then it will be Tamei Tumas Meis. Or Behemet Meya, he had a suffix about. There were certain things he knew for sure aren't good. He knew all trees are not good, with the exception of flax. But there were certain things he wasn't sure about. And he wasn't sure about Or Behemet Meya. What did it come down to? The tachash. I don't know what it is. Rams are kosher animals. A tachash is, I don't know. I don't know what it is. So whereas Rabbi Elazar wasn't sure, Rabbi Yosef came and Rabbi Yosef said, no, for sure the tachash was a kosher animal. How do I know the tachash was a kosher animal? Because for meleches shamayim, you have to use kosher animals. Must be the tachash was a kosher animal. Rav and Rav mi Barnish also said what Rabbi Yosef said, meaning that the aura of the behemoth tmeya would be tamei tumas oil, but they came from another angle. Not that we're learning it from the tachash, which we know for sure was a kosher animal, but rather we know it either from a tzad hashava between tumas negam and tumas sheretz, or like Rava mi Barnish said, I know it kal v'chomer minutzah shalizim. Now says the Gemara, v'elaha d'tani Rabbi Yosef lehuchshu melech shamayim ela or behemet tmeya bilvad l'may hilchas v'amin. We have a whole discussion in the Gemara over here whether or behemet tmeya or behemet tmeya. Now we have a tzad to say that the tachash maybe was a non-kosher animal. So then the question is, what's this halach all about? Of lo yuchsheru b'melecha shamayim ela or behema tayra b'vat. Meaning, bishloima, according to Rabbi Yosef, that statement is a very important halachic statement, Ayin Rashi. It's coming to teach me this halacha. It's coming to teach me the halacha that or behema temeya is not tamei tumas oil. But according to Rabbi Elazar, who wasn't sure, and according to Rava and Rava mi Barnish, who learned that halacha, but they learn it from somewhere else. So what's the point of this halacha? So the Gemara says, tefillin. It's coming to teach me halacha regarding tefillin. What do you see by tefillin? Says the Gemara, that tefillin need to be written on a cloth that comes from a kosher animal. So you write it on a cloth. A cloth is the hide, the skin of an animal. Does it have to be a kosher animal, or could it be a non-kosher animal? So the Gemara says, from this halacha, lehuchshu the melecha shamayim elo ar behemet terebol vav, we learn it has to be on a kosher animal. I don't need a drasha to tell me that you have to write tefillin on a kosher animal. It says in the Torah, lemantia teres Hashem beficha, that in the parish of tefillin, and we learn from there, min ha muter beficha, that you have to write tefillin on something that you're allowed to put in your mouth. Just like a carbon had to be mimashki yisrael, something that you're allowed to eat. So too, you're only allowed to write tefillin on something kosher. So for sure it has to be from a kosher animal. So the Gemara says you're right. Elo lo oiron. What it means is the batim of the tefillin. That the batim of the tefillin, that's not where the Torah Hashem is. You're not writing the parasha of the Torah on the bottom, you write it on the cloth which is in the bottom. So it's coming to teach me that the bottom had to be from a kosher animal. But the Gemara says, Abaya said, shin shel tefillin, you had to have a shin on the bias. And the reason you have a shin on the bias is because you have a shin on the bias, and then from the Ritzuos you make a dalet and a yud, together you have shakai. The point is, there is Torah Hashem on the bias. You have the shin. It's one of the oisiyas of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if that's the case, it's included in Lamantia Teres Hashem Beficha Min Amata Beficha. So again, why do I need a halacha to tell me that the bias wasn't allowed to be from the bar of a behemoth tomeo? If there was a shin, then it's included in Lamantia Teres Hashem Beficha. Frank Rab Kivegar and Gilyan Ashas. What, maybe the tefillin shal yad. The tefillin shel reish has a shin on it. The tefillin shel yad doesn't have a shin on it. It's a very short Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and he says, sorry. Either way, but the Gemara says that maybe it's coming for the shin of the tefillin. Elo, you're right. What it means is, l'karchan b'sa'iron u'letayr from beginning. It's the material that you use to roll and to wrap the parashiyos, and the material that you use to sew the bottom together. But the Gemara says, "Hanami Allah l'maish misinayu." Isn't that also Allah l'maish misinayu? Tanya learned to the brayso. Tefillin meruba is Allah l'maish misinayu. The fact that tefillin has to be a perfect square is learned out of Allah l'maish misinayu. The krach is besaron. The nitfar is begidon. The fact that it needs to be wrapped with its own hair and it has to be sewed with its gidin is also Allah l'maish misinayu. So this is all included in Allah l'maish misinayu. The Gemara says, "You're right. Elo the ritzuos." It's coming to teach me that the ritzuos have to be from a kosher animal. But the Gemara says, "Vam Rabbi Yitzchak ritzuos shcheres Allah l'maish misinayu." The fact that the ritzuos have to be black is Allah l'maish misinayu. Doesn't it sound like all the halachas of ritzuos Allah l'maish misinayu? The Gemara says, "No. Nehi the gemiri shcheres, but tayrus migmiri." The fact that the ritzuos have to be black is Allah l'maish misinayu. But the fact that it has to be from a kosher animal, that's not included in any Allah l'maish misinayu. Sinai. Either way, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef said, what is that coming to teach me? Either it was coming to teach me a halacha, very abstract halacha, Tumas Oyo, that the Oyo of a behema, Tameya, does not become Tame if it's Ma'al on a mace, and it's based on the fact that the Tachash in the Mishkan must have been a behemoth Torah, or it's coming to teach me halacha that the ritzuis of the tefillin have to come from a kosher animal. Incidentally, one of that fighter, my havi Allah, the tachash, says the Gemara, what is the bottom line regarding the tachash? So we had a shayla. Rabbi Loza wasn't sure. Is the tachash a kosher animal? It's not a kosher animal. Seems to be a little bit of a discussion. So what's the bottom line? Amar Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Shimon ben Lachish, Oymer hayra meira meir fleik zogin. He used to say, tachash ahayli mei Moshe, the tachash that existed in the days of Moshe, buried if neyatzma haya, it was a creature unto itself. And the Chachamim couldn't figure out whether it's a Chaya or whether it's a behemoth. What does it sound like? It sounds like the Kvi of Masechtas Chulin fame, also known as the Koi. But it sounds like the Kvi. Now, the Kvi poses many halachic shailas, because you have to know if you have the halach of Oisei Vespinoi Leisishcha to be a Mechot, which you have by a behemoth, not a Chaya. Do you have Kisei Adam, which you have by a Chaya, not by a behemoth? There's a Reb Chaim and Sefer about the Kvi. There's a lot of halachos and lomdis even. The point is, this is something that we don't have. This was a creature that existed in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the point is, Chum couldn't figure out if it was a Chaya, if it was a behemoth. The Karen Achas Hoysalai B'mitzchai. By the way, it had one horn. V'ulafi Shon is Namalai L'Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu had it for a short period of time. V'asam, he made a Mishkan, and he made a Mishkan from it. V'nignaz, and then afterwards it was hidden. Incidentally, the Sfarim say that this is the only thing that was ever created that was only used for Melech HaShemayim. It was created Lefishan, then it disappeared. So cows, we use it for Melech HaShemayim, but at the same time it's also used for non-Melech HaShemayim. The whole purpose of the Tachash was it existed for a very short period of time and it was used exclusively for Melech HaShemayim. But says the Gemara, one thing you see from all this, it had a horn, okay? For the fact that it had a horn, so you see from there that it must have been a kosher animal, because one of the simanim of a kosher animal is when it has horns. Now the Gemara is going to add a piece. The reason the Gemara is out of pieces because all the kosher animals that have horns have two horns. Usually they don't have one horn. What? One horn. Say, here you have an animal that has one horn. How do you know an animal that has one horn is also a kosher animal? So the Gemara says, the shar that Adam Rishon brought had one horn. So you see from there it had one horn. The Gemara says, makrin sounds like two horns. It's a Lashon Rabban. The kri sounds like plural. But if you look at the word, there's no yud there. It's mem kuf resh nun. It's mi keren. Either way, it's belashon yach. So you see that Adam Arishon brought a carbon that had one horn and it was a kosher animal. So presumably, this animal with one horn is a kosher animal as well. Says the Gemara. So either way, the Gemara just proved from this braisa that the tachash was a kosher animal. So the Gemara says that just like we proved that it was a kosher animal, why can't we also prove that it was a behema? Because if the animal had one horn, we don't know a lot of animals with one horn. And here you have Adam Arishon brought a shar that had one horn. Sounds a little like maybe that was the same animal. That animal was a shar. It was clearly a behemoth. So shouldn't we be able to back in and say that the tachash was a behemoth? Meaning we said that we know the tachash was a kosher animal. But we don't know if it was a chayah or if it was a behemoth. Lechura, it was probably the shar shehikav Adam Arishon. And that was a behemoth. It was called a shar. But the Gemara says it's not muchach because we are familiar with another animal that has one horn. Kivan de'ika keresh, de min chayahu, there's a keresh which has one horn and it's a chayo. The lesle elochad or keren ikal meme min chay. Who's for that reason, you could always say that maybe the tachash was the keresh, maybe it wasn't the shar shehikra of the Marishans. You have no raya whether or not it was a chaya or whether or not it was a behema. In other words, we proved that the tachash was a min tahar, however, we did not prove, and we were still mesupik whether or not the tachash was a min chaya or whether or not the tachash was a min behema exhale. So, as promised, just to end the daf, along the theme of some of the intense raid that we've been talking about over the last several days, related to the mitzvah of hadlokas neiroi, so just one more anaf, if we will, as it relates to some of these gemaras that we've been talking about. So just to review, yesterday we mentioned a chiddush from the Maram that's brought down in the Magen Avraham and Eruch Chaim, Simen Reish Samach Gimel. The Maram said that if a woman forgets to light candles on Friday night, she could tell a non-Jew to light candles on her behalf. Not only will she fulfill the mitzvah of Adlokas Neir Shabbos by the non-Jew lighting it for her, but she could even make a bracha. She can even make a bracha. Reb Kinega was matmiya on this maram. He said he doesn't understand. He says, you want to tell me you could tell a guy, Amir al-Akum, you want to circumvent that, that I could live with. But how in the world could a woman make a bracha if the non-Jew is going to be lighting on her behalf? Meaning, bishloima, if I would tell someone to do something for me, and that person's acting as my shliach, so there's halacha of shluchay shaladim kamaisai. So even though the shliach did it, I'm the beneficiary of it as a result. Maybe I can make a bracha. But over here, the non-Jew is going to be the one lighting the candles. Because just like the woman can't light candles because it's Shabbos, she can't tell another Jew to light candles on her behalf. So for sure, a non-Jew is going to be the one lighting the candles. If a non-Jew is going to be the one lighting it, this is Amir La'akum, ain't Shlichus La'akum. So Freik Reb Kiva Eger, being that ain't Shlichus La'akum, how is it possible for the non-Jew to light the candles and for the Yid, this woman, to go ahead and to make a bracha, if there's no shluchay shaladim kamaisai, how is it possible for her to make a bracha l'chura? She's not the one being madlik. If she's not the one being madlik, how is it possible for her to make a bracha? That's Reb Kiveger's kasha on this maram that the Magen Avraham says he could be soymucham b'shas adchak. Reb Kiveger says, I hear, but to make a bracha, that's not something I could tolerate. So yesterday we mentioned that Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank in his Har Tzvi, in Eruch Chaim, Simen Kuf Mem Zayin, says an unbelievable chiddush. He says that maybe this is one of the makoros to something that I've been thinking a lot about, and that is if somebody doesn't do a mitzvah physically, but he's a grama, he causes a mitzvah to go into effect. What would be the halacha? Meaning, how do you look at grama as it relates to mitzvahs? We're familiar with grama ben Azakin. Your pata medine adam v'chai medine shemayim. By the way, just to refresh, in the halachas of Chayshe Mishpat, you have grama ben Azakin, and there's also something called dina de garmi. Rameir is da'in dina de garmi. What's the difference between Grama bin Azakin and Dina de Garmi? So according to most Rishonim, the difference is the level of how direct it is. We used to call it hashtag directly indirect, meaning within the world of Grama, there's different levels. There, it could be very indirect, and it could be a little less indirect, or directly indirect. And depending on how indirect it is, that determines whether it falls under the category of grama, or whether it falls into the category of garmi. Meaning, Reb Meir is done dina de garmi. We passing like Reb Meir, who's done dina de garmi. Ayin bava kama daf 100, daf kuf. So there's a concept of being done dina de garmi, even though it's indirect. It's only grama. It's grama, but it's a little more direct than your classic grama. And the halacha is that if I'm mazik someone, dina de garmi, I'm chayiv even bedine yadam. Grama ben azakon, you're for sure chayiv bedine shemai. If it's garmi, it's a little more direct than grama, but it's still grama, it's just garmi. Rameir is done dina de garmi. The point is, there's a halacha of grama in many areas in halacha. In Hilchos Shabbos, you find if someone's mechal Shabbos, begrama, in the halachas of Shvichas Domim, there's a sugya of grama. So the sugya of grama comes up many places. Says Rav Hirsch Pesach, what would happen if somebody did a mitzvah al yedei grama? So I caused the mitzvah to happen. Do I get schar? Is it as if I did the mitzvah? Could I make a brachas on mitzvahs? So Rabbi Pesach said, I think it's a mefurish atzuvas harajba that the mechaber paskins in Yerideya Simon Kuf Chav that a yid is lekatchila allowed to tell a non-Jew to go toivel kelim for him, and he could even make a bracha. Must be it's because I was gairim, because really no shlichus la'akum. And if you see from there that if someone's gairim, someone does a grama, he causes a mitzvah to go into effect. That would be enough for it to be considered as if I did the mitzvah. So says Rabbi Tzvi Pesach, if there's such a yisai that he's always had a hunch there's such a yisai, then maybe you could bring a raya from this maram. That's the teretz from Kivegas Kashi. You want to know why the woman's allowed to make a bracha? She didn't do the hadlaka, the guy did, and there's no shlichus, so the guy's hadlaka has no way of attaching itself and connecting itself to the Jew. That's true. It's not because I did the hadlaka that I can make the bracha. It's because I was gairim the hadlaka, and grama b'mitzvahs is enough. L'maisa, at the end of this long piece in the Har Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach concludes as follows. He says, "U'be'emes inyan zeh shel kiyum mitzvahs al yedei grama tzorich iyun gadol u'kenira." And my hunch is that ain't losses, but a hechlik klali l'chol mitzvahs b'shava. That it's impossible to give a rule for all mitzvahs. V'gam le'inyan zeh ain't kol mitzvahs doymezu lezu. You probably have to start being mechalik and differentiating between different types of mitzvahs. V'loy basi rak la'orer. I just came to speak out a little bit of raid. V'ein kan mekoyme laharich, says Rav Harish Pesach. That's how he concludes this piece. Yesterday we mentioned perhaps another mehalach, and that is based on the Machna Ephraim and Hilchas Shluchim v'Shutfim in Siman Yud Aleph, where the Machna Ephraim says that if a person has a poel, a worker, someone that works for him, that person can act on his behalf, not merely as a shliach, but midin yad, as an extension of the person's head. And the Machna Ephraim says the nafkamina lahalacha would be that being that in shlichus la'akum, it doesn't say anywhere that an akum can't be your yad. He can't be your shliach, but doesn't say he could be your yad. So if somebody has a poyel that's a non-Jew, you'd be able to tell the non-Jew to go do something on your behalf, midin poyel, midin yad. And it's a very big chiddush of the Machna Ephraim that the Achrayim talk about. But either way, we said that at the very least, not what the Maram sounds like he was saying, but for sure, to use the Maram's kula, bitzir of the Machna Ephraim, that would be an etzer. Rav Kiveger didn't even mention such an etzer, and probably Rav Kiveger's lashitase, because in his hagoyis on the Machna Ephraim, he had many problems with the Machna Ephraim. Either way, that was very much yesterday's daf. At the end of the daf, after the daf, in the post game, so Rabbi Weil was ma'orer a very, very powerful svara that l'chura would answer this kasha and is for sure included in what Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank mentioned in the end of his piece when he said, "Ein kol ha-mitzvois doimois zelazeh." And the truth is that I found that the Har Tzvi, not in his Shailos HaTshuvos Har Tzvi, but rather in his Har Tzvi al Hashas, here in the Sugis of Perek B'Mem Adlikin, says exactly what Rabbi Weil said. But before the Teretz, just a little bit of an introduction. And that is, we're talking about the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiroi Shabbos. The truth is, there are other mitzvahs where you find there's a mitzvah to go ahead and light a candle. The two that come to mind is the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiroi's, that was one of the avoidas in the menorah. Additionally, that mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiroi's on Shabbos, and these are all the Sugis that we've been learning here in Perek B'Mem Adlikin. It's mavur, that the longest, the kiyum ha-mitzvah, the cheftza of the mitzvah, or any synonym of cheftza that you want to use, of the mitzvah of hadlakas neiros in the menorah was different fundamentally from the mitzvah of hadlakas neiros on Chanukah. And that is as follows. In Brisk, they say over that Reb Chaim Brisco was once in Warsaw. He was in Varsha, and when he was in Varsha, he met the Gerer Rebbe, the Imre Emes, and they were talking and learning. And the Imre Emes asked Reb Chaim a question. He asked him that there's a Medrash Tanchuma that says, "Omer Reb Chanina Skan Hakoyanim." Reb Chanina, the famous Skan Hakoyanim, said, "Ani hoyisi mishamish bebeis hamikdash. I was a mishamish in the Beis Hamikdash. Umaisa nisim hayu bemenorah. And I remember there were unbelievable miracles that happened with the menorah. Mishayu madlikin oisa b'Rosh Hashanah. They would light the menorah at the beginning of the year. And loy hoisa miskabe ad shana acheres. It would light for an entire year. Upam machas loy osu azesim shemen hischilu akoyhanim lifkois." Either way, he talked about different miracles that used to happen. Specifically, they would light the menorah in the beginning of the year. So we're familiar with the Chanukah story where the menorah lit for 8 days. Reb Chanina Skan HaKoyanim, who lived after the Chanukah story, says that I witnessed where they lit the menorah in Rosh Hashanah and it would light the whole year. So the Imre Emes asked Reb Chaim, he says, "I don't understand, it sounds like a beautiful miracle. But at the end of the day, isn't there a mitzvah to light the menorah every day? It's chazed again in Parshas Emor. One of the critical avodas that were done every day in the Beis HaMikdash was the lighting of the menorah. So the Rambam asked Reb Chaim that if the menorah lit for a year, so they weren't mekayim the mitzvah. So what's so great about this? How are they mekayim the mitzvah? There's a mitzvah to light the menorah. If the menorah lit for a year, how are they mekayim the mitzvah? So the Rambam has told Reb Chaim that he thinks pshat is like this. The halacha is that Hilchas Shabbos, if somebody adds oil to a fire, he's chayav mishum maver. If somebody takes oil from a fire, we just had it in the daf the other day, he's chayav mishum mechaba. So the Rambam said that you see that adding oil to a fire is tantamount to lighting a fire. Removing oil from a fire is like extinguishing a fire. So Rambam said maybe what they did was they added a little bit of oil every day. I mean that they added a little bit of oil every day, it's considered maver on Shabbos, it's considered hadlaka as it relates to the menorah. So if it's considered hadlaka as it relates to the menorah, that's how they were mekayim the mitzvah. So Reb Chaim told the Rambam, I hear. He said, but I'm going to tell you what I think the richtig of Shad is. Reb Chaim said that the mitzvah of hadlakas ha-menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was not to light the menorah. The mitzvah of Hadlakas HaMenorah was to make sure that there was a ner daluk in the Beis HaMikdash. The mitzvah wasn't the physical act of lighting the menorah. The mitzvah was to make sure that there was a ner daluk that always had to be oir in the Beis HaMikdash. And it was the Kohen's job to make sure there was always oir in the Beis HaMikdash. So Reb Chaim said, if there was no fire, then you had no choice. You had to light the fire. But if there was a fire, you didn't have to do anything because the fire was there anyways. Because the Hadlaka said, Reb Chaim is the Hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah was for the ner to be daluk. Now this vort that Reb Chaim told the Imre Yemes in their Sichas Chulin when they were talking together when Reb Chaim was in Warsaw. This Yesod of Reb Chaim is really Reb Chaim L'shitasai. In Chidushei Reb Chaim Alevi Al Arama. Reb Chaim said this in Sefer. It's a festa piece where Reb Chaim talks about how the Rambam says that a Zohar, a non-Koyan, is allowed to light the menorah. A Zohar is not usually allowed to do the Avodah, but a Zohar was allowed to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And Reb Chaim discusses, why is a Zohar allowed to light the menorah? In fact, the Rambam says a Zohar wasn't allowed to be medash in the menorah. He wasn't allowed to be mektiv the neiros in the menorah. So why was he allowed to light the menorah? The hadlaka of the menorah, that sounds like that's the ikar mitzvah. So why was he allowed to light the menorah? Additionally, the Rambam says that even though where was the menorah was in the heichal. But the Rambam says that it was okay to light the menorah in the azara. If you lit the menorah in the azara and then moved the menorah from the azara into the heichal, it was okay. In fact, we say it in Al Anisim, the dliku neiros b'chatzris kochecho. They lit the menorah b'chatzris kochecho. So you can light the menorah in the chatzris. Pick up Chaim, I don't understand. If the makom of the menorah is the heichal, so why is the azara allowed to light the menorah? If the makom of the menorah is the heichal, why are you allowed to light the menorah in the chatzir? So Reb Chaim said in Reb Chaim's nusach, in his style, he said because the kiyum mitzvah of hadlakas ha-menorah was never the hadlaka. The hadlaka is just the heichitimtzo. It's the hechsher. It's the way to facilitate the fire. But really, the mitzvah is niskayim when there's a ner dalek in the Beis HaMikdash. So the hadlaka is just like the heichitimtzo. It's the intermediary. It's the vehicle that gets you to the point that you need to get for the kiyum mitzvah. But the real kiyum mitzvah, said Reb Chaim, is for there to be a ner dalek, a fire burning in the heichel. If that's the case, a zor could light the menorah. If that's the case, he could light the menorah in the azara. Because the hadlaka is not the kiyum mitzvah. It's not the actual avodah. It's just the heichitimtzo. It's just the hechsher. So if it's just the hechsher, that's how you'd be able to do it. The point is, as it relates to hadlakas ha-menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah was neskayin, not with the hadlaka, by the fact that there was a ner dalek. Now, of course, the maisa mitzvah is the hadlaka. When you light candles, you're going to have a candle lit. But from the lamdas perspective, the kiyum mitzvah, the tzivui habayre, what we're trying to accomplish is not to light a fire. What we're trying to accomplish is that there should be a fire lit. That's the distinction. The lighting of the fire and the fire lit are the two sides of the same coin. The question is, mahatachlis, what are we trying to accomplish? With an act of hadlaka? A maisei hadlaka? No, it's that there should be a ner dalek. And being that the Mais Hadlaka is just the Heichitimtzo to get there, that's why I said Reb Chaim, if they didn't have to light the menorah for a year because there were miracles taking place in the times of Reb Chanina Skana Koyanim, so that's fine. They didn't have to light the menorah. They were made of it. They did whatever they had to do. But the point is that as long as there was a Ner Dalek, they had a Kiva Mitzvah, that's why Azar could do it. That's why Vidliku Neris Bechatzos Kochecho. That's why you could even light it in the Azar. That's as it relates to lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. What about Chanukah? Chanukah is very, very different. It's clear that by Chanukah, even though the purpose of lighting candles on Chanukah is that should be a fire lit and that people should walk by and there should be persumenis, of course that's the point. But at the end of the day, the mitzvah is light a menorah. It's the Maisa Hadlaka that is the mitzvah. And there's many rayas to it. The Gemara says Hadlaka is a mitzvah. It was a Lashon HaGemara. That's why you say Asher Kedishonu B'mitzvayis V'tzivanu Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. The Gemara says if someone had an Ashoshes, he had a candle that was lit, he lit candles, the fifth night of Chanukah was Erev Shabbos, and it's Matzah Shabbos, he still has it. So you can't just use that candle. The Gemara says you have to be Mechabit it, and then you have to relight it. That's the Halacha. You have to light it again. Why? Because Hadlaka is a mitzvah. You have to do a Maisa Hadlaka. What do you mean? I have a candle lit. It doesn't matter. You have to go now, and you have to light a candle L'shem Chanukah. That's something that you need to do. That is what the mitzvah is. There was a machloikas in the Gemara, whether kafsa zakakla or kafsa ein zakakla. You lit the menorah, it had the right share, it could last a half hour, whatever you need the menorah to last for. And then it blew out. So what's the halacha? It's a machloikas. We paskin kafsa ein zakakla. Light the menorah and you're done. You have no problems anymore. Why? Because the mitzvah is the hadlaka. That is the mitzvah. Now, of course, the purpose, you're not lighting the menorah just to do a ma'isa hadlaka and then blow it out. You're lighting that it should last. But the mitzvah is niskayim with the ma'isa hadlaka. The tzuras ha-mitzvah, the cheftza of the mitzvah, if you will, is the act of the hadlaka. A hadlaka that hopefully will result in a candle that will last. But the mitzvah is not that there should be a ner dolok. The mitzvah is to go ahead and light the menorah. Say, yesh lachkor, says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in the sugyot here by Memadlikin. How does ner Shabbos fall into the equation? He doesn't say it exactly the way we're saying. We're dramatizing this a little bit. He doesn't bring the Reb Chaim and the Remes, and he doesn't bring ner Chanukah. But he asks, declares this chakir, in ner Shabbos, how do you view ner Shabbos? Is ner Shabbos the mitzvah, the hadlaka? Go light a candle for Shabbos? Or is the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos that there should be a Ner Dolok? The mitzvah is that there should be a candle lit in your house, says the Reb Tzvi Pesach. I don't think there's a lot of suspense over here. He says it's a Mefurish Rambam. It's one of the Rambams that we spoke about the other day, where the Rambam says in Perikei, Hadlokas Ner B'Shabbos Einu Rishos Ve'Einu Mitzvah Elochoyva Ve'Echad Anoshim Ve'Echad Noshim Chayovin Liyos B'Boteyem Ner Dolok B'Shabbos. The Rambam never said that you're supposed to go ahead and you're supposed to light a candle for Shabbos. What the Rambam says is Echad Anoshim Echad Anoshim Chayovim Liyos B'Boteyim Ner Dolok B'Shabbos. The Chiyuv is that you should have a Ner Dolok. The mitzvah is that there should be a candle lit. There's no mitzvah to do Hadlaka. It's interesting, the Hartzvi says that we know that who lights candles in a home, in a Jewish home, it's the woman. She's the one that lights the candles in the Jewish home. What's the reason for it? So the Mechaber says, it's the first halacha in Siman Reish Samach Gimel, Echad Anoshim, Echad Anoshim, but the minhag is that the women do it. Why? Because they're in charge of the house. They own the kitchen, and they own the dining room, and they own the living room, and it's their domain, Ishtai Zu Beisai. She's the one that lights candles. It's for practical purposes, but the Mishnah Berurah brings that there's another reason. And the other reason is because Chava, the first woman to ever live, she extinguished the light of the world. She caused death onto the world. The Nachash, Chava, Adam, the Eitz Hadas, Ner Elokim Nishmas Adam. She extinguished the Ner, the Neshama of the world. She has an obligation to go ahead now and to rekindle one night a week. She rekindles that light that she once extinguished. So says Rav Hirsch Pesach that if you want a basis for the other side in the Chakira, that maybe the mitzvah is the Hadlaka, it's this side. Because you see that why is she lighting? Because she extinguished. So how do you correct? What's the tikkun on an act of being mechaba, an act of hadlaka? Either way, ayin sham, this dvar in the flan, we don't have enough time to go through the whole piece. But says Rav Tzvi Pesach, that one thing is clear. If you're going to tell me that the mitzvah is not the physical hadlaka, but the mitzvah is to make sure, like the Rambam says, that it should be lit. So it's posh, it says Rav Tzvi Pesach, the Maram's chiddush. I don't think it's even such a big chiddush. You want to know why, if a woman would tell a goita to go light candles for her Friday night, she can make the bracha. What was the question? She didn't light the candles. The goyt is the one that lit the candles. Now you'll tell me she acted as her shliach? There's no shlichus by Akum, Frank Rabki Veger says, Rab Tzvi Pesach, that's all true if the mitzvah would be to do the physical adlaka. If the mitzvah is to do the physical adlaka, she didn't do the physical adlaka. The goyt did. And there's no way to connect, to draw a link between the hadlok of the guy and this woman, because there's no shlichos, ain't shlichos la'akum. But says Rav Tzvi Pesach, if the mitzvah was never the hadlok anyways, the hadlok is just the hechatimtza. If the fire was lit, you would be able to be yoitza with that. It was never the physical hadlok. It's never the physical hadlok, it's just that it should be a ner dolok. So the hadlok is only the hechsher, it's only the hechatimtza to get me there. If it's only the hechatimtza to get me there, so what does it matter if the way I got there was by lighting, or the way I got there was by having somebody else light it? In other words, The Hartzvida we spoke at yesterday, the Yisoid of Rav Hirsch Pesach that we spoke at yesterday, was a very general halacha in terms of all mitzvahs. That there's a concept of grama b'mitzvahs. Let the mitzvah be the halacha. I didn't do the halacha, but I caused the halacha into existence. Grama garmi, maybe that's enough in order for me to be able to make a bracha. And today, what Rav Tzvi Pesach is saying is what Rabbi Weil said yesterday. It's not nearly as extreme. It's not as dramatic. It doesn't carry the same implications and ramifications. It's not such a global macro svara. It's something more unique and specific. Tadlokas Neir Shabbos. Tadlokas Neir Shabbos, the mitzvah is not the maisa. The maisa is just the hechatim to get there. You can't have candles without lighting candles. Or else, maybe you could. You could tell someone to do it. And if that person does it, you're the one who now caused these candles into existence, maybe even without a parish of shlichus, to be able to fulfill this. Rav Tzvi Pesach brings that he found afterwards in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. He says it word for word, verbatim, with the Hezbar and the Lumbus and the Super Lumbus that we just spoke out. Ayin Sham, and we'll end here.